Well, I'd like to talk about these two words I wrote on the board this morning. Appreciate each one making the effort to be here and thank the Lord for His promise to meet with us, whether we be many or few. And I'm grateful for the times that He's met with us in the past and just looking forward to Him continuing to meet with us through time, as long as we have time. I'm encouraged to believe and to know that God is there for us, whatever our phase of life is, whether we're in the springtime or the autumn of our life, whether we're at the beginning, and He's here for our little children that's here this morning, and it's good to see their faces here and see them learning how to shake hands and say hello and get along with one another. That's just, those are wonderful things. And when we see that, our little children learning those kind of behaviors and knowing how to be respectful to older people and to one another, it's just, that's an encouraging thing. And when we see an older person that has grace and strength in their life where they're able to carry on, even though maybe things aren't as pleasant as they would like for them to be, that's a beautiful testimony of God's help and His grace for each one of us. So this week I've been kind of meditating on this thought. Some of us have a builder mindset, and some of us have a maintainer mindset. And yesterday, I drove with Addie, and I went through Carthage, and as we were driving through town, there was a place that my wife thinks was open for business a week ago, a place that served Chinese food called China Taste. Any of y'all, it's not that I want to draw a lot of attention to it, but it was there in Carthage, and they were in an old Kentucky Fried Chicken building, and years ago, I remember it being Kentucky Fried Chicken, and we drove by that building yesterday, and it was gone. The sign was still up, but the building was gone. There was a few bricks out there, but, I mean, it was not just knocked down. It was scooped up and hauled off, and there might have been a pickup load of bricks left, and it's not been very long ago that we come to church one Sunday morning and drove by the building where Long John Silver's was, and it's gone. It's not there. And sometime when I wasn't there, they demolished that building and hauled it off. And anytime something disappears like that, I always ask the question, why? What was wrong? Was business bad? Was the building in that bad a repair? I don't know. I don't know the answers to that question, but I will tell you that it's much easier for me to have a maintainer mindset than a builder mindset. I guess you would say I'm bent that way. I don't know. We all have characteristics, but I have looked on at a builder mindset, and I see that in men particularly, that there's a threshold of repairs that's pretty easy for them to cross, and they're saying it'd be better just to tear this down and build another one. I'm talking about a building. And there's others that come in. I know a man today, and most all of you here know him too, if I would tell you his name. I know a man that has taken an old house and has repaired the siding. Some of the boards, the wood boards that was broke on the outside, he made some boards exactly like that with his table saw, and he repaired the siding on the outside. And then he stripped all of the paint off, And he has done the research and he has painted that wood and preserved it. Every board has been properly re-nailed. Any place that needed caulk or any kind of sealer, it's been fixed. He took the whole roof off of the house and reframed the roof. And then since then, he's went in and took each room apart from the inside. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but he has restored that house on the outside and on the inside. And he's had cabinets built for the kitchen. They have an old cook stove, gas cook stove from the 50s that he's refurbished. And that the last time I saw it, they were going to get some chrome on it, re-chromed, to make it look nice. I mean, he's a maintainer. He wants to fix it. He sees some value there, and he likes the style. He likes the shape. He likes the architecture and all of that. And I don't know what you would do with a Kentucky Fried Chicken building or a Long John Silver building. It'd make a Mexican restaurant, I know, because they make Mexican restaurants out of anything. But I don't know what it needed. I don't know what it needed. I don't know where the decision, but somebody come along and said, it's not worth it. Tear it down. We're going to make room for something. Even if it's nothing, we're not going to maintain it. We're not going to put another dime into it. I remember working for a place one time that over the course of 20 or 30 years, they had bought a lot of gravel to maintain their parking lot where customers parked. And they said, I bought all the gravel I'm going to buy. I'm not buying any more. He was an older man. I'm not buying any more gravel. We're just going to have to grade around what they got. I'm not buying any more. You know, there's people that comes to this place and they're unwilling to maintain things anymore. But I think building and maintaining mindset goes beyond construction. It goes beyond buildings. It goes beyond parking lots. I think about you ladies sometimes. Some of you can take leftovers and disguise them and keep serving them to the point that people don't even know what it was originally that you served. And every time you eat it, it's like, wow, how'd you come up with this? Well, I don't know. I took this and that and something else, and, well, it tastes pretty good. And some of you, if it's just a few hours old, throw it in the trash. We're going to make something new. It says mindset. I don't know what's all behind it, but I'm going to tell you, some of you are more the kind that I can take this and I can work with it and I can save it. And others are, it's not worth the effort. And I'm not here to say one's better than the other. I'm just here to help us understand that and point out that there's a difference. And then I think about God and Jesus and our souls. You know, mankind has, in a general sense, made a mess out of life. Mankind has. I'm not talking about any one of us here individually, but mankind in general has just made a mess out of life. And we've done that from way back there. We haven't handled things right. We made bad decisions. And I look at how the Godhead, the Trinity, has responded to that. And I would like for us to consider how he approached it. I'd like for us to be thinking as we're going through this, try to do a little self-assessment. I heard that, you know what a self-assessment is? It's when you try to objectively answer some questions about your own behavior or maybe your own actions or yourself without somebody pointing out your faults. You identify them yourself. It's usually better when we recognize it ourselves. But I'd like to go to I'm going to kind of rearrange my thought here. If we go to the very first verse in the Bible, it says, in the beginning, Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So it's pretty easy to think of God as being a builder, isn't it? We think of a builder that comes in to a piece of land that has no structure on it. We have property all around the chapel now that used to have houses, but somebody that don't remember them can't visualize what used to be there. And some of us can remember what they were. I remember the house that used to sit right where we're sitting today. Some of you don't know what that looked like. But I remember what the yard kind of looked like and the fence and the vines on the fence and the trees, and we have some memories of that. But somebody that comes into an empty lot can have the mindset of a builder, and they just, I guess you might say, they can visualize something there, and they begin to make preparations and they build something as far as construction. And it's easy to picture God, the Creator, we refer to Him like that, as you might say, a builder. So let's notice how a builder approaches problems. I'm not trying to I'm not trying to put God in a box this morning, but I just want us to think about the Creator, the builder mindset. So we believe, I believe, I hope you believe, that God created the heaven and the earth as we know it. And we turn to chapter 6 in Genesis, and we see what was happening. In chapter 6, verse 1 of Genesis, it says, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now some feel like that's the lifespan would only be 120 years, but it seems to work out that this was a prophecy of how the time period till the flood. If you do the math, but we won't get into all that technical stuff this morning. We're just interested in that man was making a mess out of life. God looked down and he saw that men and women were multiplying, and those that were had a profession, that had a desire to please the Lord, they began to look at those that didn't, and they begin to marry those. And I'm going to tell you, the scripture teaches us to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and it makes life very difficult if one of the spouses is endeavoring to please the Lord and the other one isn't. It makes life very difficult. There's a lot of challenges there. And he looked down and he saw that this was happening, and what happened was mankind was making a lot of poor choices, and they began to go away from what God intended him to do. And God originally, you know, everything that he created, he said it was good in that first chapter. We'll go down to verse 5 in this chapter 6. And it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Just his bent. Mankind, making a mess out of life. Not taking care of the things he should have taken care of. He says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. a builder mindset. Things aren't going like they ought to be. I don't know. Maybe it was a mistake in the first place to build a Kentucky Fried Chicken where they did. You know, it was on the old highway that used to go through Carthage, but the new highway bypassed Kentucky Fried Chicken, and now Kentucky Fried Chicken, it went out of business for a while, and then they built a new one down by Walmart in Carthage. And that old building turned into a Chinese place, and now I told you it was gone. But God looked down and he said, man is making a mess of things. He doesn't think about me. He doesn't think about the proper way to look at life. He's making a wreck of it. I think it's coming. I'll just tear it down. I'll just destroy it. I'll get rid of it. But then it says in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Did you know because Noah was faithful, you and I are here today? Because Noah was someone that maintained his integrity with the Lord, the earth is still here. Different mindset. I'm not criticizing God the Creator. I just want us to pick up on the difference here. Okay? Exodus chapter 32. We know that from from Noah's time to the time of the children of Israel and when the Israelites became God's chosen people, we know there was a number of years that passed. And we know that there was a lot of the world that was displeasing to the Lord at that time. Every one of us here, if we could go back through record books, if there was such a thing, we could go back and trace our lineage to Noah. But somewhere between us and Noah, there's been a time when God chose a man by the name of Abraham, and he said, I'll make a great nation out of you. And it became known as the Israelites. And the Israelites they made a mess out of things too, didn't they? And the Israelites ended up in captivity in Egypt. And God worked with them and sent Joseph down there. We read the story of Joseph to the children last night, how he got sold as a slave. You children remember that? And Joseph was sent down. And through a process of events, he ended up being like Pharaoh for a little while. And it was because of Joseph's faithfulness that the Israelites were saved from starvation. And they went down to Egypt, and ultimately they ended up being slaves there. And then came along a man by the name of Moses that God used to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Got them out of Egypt. Now we're in the 32nd chapter of Exodus. I would like to read beginning verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Moses was up on the mountain speaking to God, having some one-on-one time and receiving the law. And while he was away, you know when parents leave the house and you have adolescents and teenagers there, things can go wrong. Just FYI, we did and they did. There were a few times as parents we left the house and the boys were at home, and sometimes we got a phone call and sometimes we came back to things that we didn't like. One thing led to something else. And because mom and dad weren't there, things got out of control. And because Moses wasn't there, one thing led to something else. And listen to what happened. God speaking to Moses here in verse 8, he says, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And we look on from a distance and, you know, they say hindsight is 20/20, and we can look back and say, you are so foolish to think that this calf that you made out in the wilderness, that that's what brought you out of Egypt? Come on. What were you thinking? And God, still talking to Moses, said, the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. That means they're not very flexible. And now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. I just want us to get a picture of the builder mindset. He's the one that created in the middle, in the beginning. Things went wrong. Noah, if it wasn't for you, there wouldn't be no mankind here anymore. Now, Moses, just move over here a little bit. Get out of the way. And I'm going to get rid of all these people, and we're going to start over with you. Builder mindset. You see what I'm talking about? And Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, and he had a reason. You know, a maintainer always had a reason of why we ought to fix what we got. There's always a reason to fix it. And please understand me, I'm not criticizing God this morning. I'm just trying to help us understand that there's different ways of looking at stuff. And God is a builder. And his mindset was, Moses, these people won't listen. You just stepped away for a short period of time. And they done made a gold calf down there. I mean, it's just beyond my comprehension. How could they do that so quick? Number one, it seemed like they were probably thinking about it before Moses left them alone. Otherwise, how would have they come up with the plan to make that? And their excuse when Moses confronted it was horrific. I just throwed the gold in the fire and this calf come out. Look. Liar, liar. Pants on fire. That's not what happened. We all know that. But here, God said, just move over, Moses. I'll just clean the slate. We'll get rid of that silver dollars. Long John Silver's almost said Silver Dollar City. We'll get rid of Long John Silver's. We'll get rid of that old Kentucky Fried Chicken building. And we'll have a clean slate here. If somebody wants to build something new on it, at least they'll see it's an opportunity. Right now, all they see is an old junk pile. And God said, Moses, I'm going to get rid of all these people. We'll start over with you. You ever felt like you've had it with other people? You've done all, maybe it's your children, maybe it's your neighbors, maybe it's your government. We've all had those times, haven't we? We've all tempted to, I'm going to move. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get away from whatever it is because things aren't going right. But I want us to notice something that's in the scripture. You know, Jesus approached things different than his father did. You know, my boys do things different than I do. There's times that I'd like to have them just be just like me. And then there's other times I'm really glad they're different. I'm really glad that they offer a different perspective. They can give me insight that I don't have on things in life. I'd like for us to look at Ezekiel chapter 34. And I want us to look at what is being prophesied in the Old Testament. It's right before the book of Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 34. And we're going to start reading about verse 11. Ezekiel has a reputation for speaking about things that are very complicated. It seems to have been a man of very high intelligence, and he had a way of using his vocabulary in a way that seemed to be somewhat confusing to some of us anyway, to me. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 34, and I want to begin in verse 11. He says, "For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture, and they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek them which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment." So here's what we have. Ezekiel was a man that went into Babylonian captivity probably near the same time that Daniel and his three friends that we know about from the book of Daniel. And he was down there with his brethren in captivity. His homeland had been destroyed by the Babylonian armies, the Chaldeans. And I believe that he is prophesying by the inspiration of God about his people returning. And they did return after 70 years of exile. They returned. But I believe it is a prophecy that's much further reaching than that. I believe it reaches all the way down to the time that we live in, especially when he's talking about, I'll seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all these kind of places. And that last verse I read, I'll bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, will strengthen that which was sick. I will repair. I will offer an opportunity to come out of captivity. You know, sin is captivity. It's a bondage. It's something that's oppressive. And you know, the builder mindset would look on all of us that have strayed away from the Lord. Whether we strayed away over a long period of time, or we just throwed it all out the window, so to speak, and turned away from God. God could look on all of us and say, like he said there at Noah's time and Moses' time, let's drown them all. I'll turn your head. I'm going to get rid of these, and we're going to start over. He could have said that, but he didn't. And that's why we're all here today, is because he didn't. Because he approached you and I with a maintainer mindset. I'm willing to heal and to bind up the broken and the injured things. I want to gather the things that are scattered. You ever had stuff that's scattered? We got a picture in our book that we put together of all the peanut butter M&Ms that got dumped back there. You know how that happened? I was here. I did that. I reached to get something out of the cabinet, and I knocked that container over that had those. And I couldn't have done it more effectively if I'd tried. But I turned that container over, and peanut butter M&Ms went everywhere. And you know, you just can't throw away all the peanut butter M&Ms. You've got to try to salvage some of that. Now, some that got on the floor, I think I swept them up. But on the counter, now that wasn't, you know, I can't throw those away. So I had to put some of those back in the container, the ones I didn't eat. You know, the Lord is in the business of being a maintainer. He's in the business of looking around. You know what happens when you're a maintainer mindset? I'm using that term, and I hope that you will understand what I'm trying to say this morning. A maintainer will look around and say, look, there's got to be some good in here somewheres. We'll disassemble it to the good and then start adding some new parts in with it. And we'll restore this and make it look like it never has deteriorated. You know, that's what God wants to do for all of us in our lives. You may feel like you deserve being rubbed out. And if you were dealing with just a builder, you would be just rubbed out. You messed up. You turned away from me. I mean, how could you have turned away from a God that brought you out through the miraculous witness of all those plagues, brought them out of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea on dry land and get them over there in the wilderness, and then people that had witnessed with their own eyes the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day leading them, and had witnessed all of those Egyptians getting drowned in the Red Sea that they went through on dry land. They saw all of that, and yet they said, this calf is the thing that brought us out of Egypt. You've got to be kidding. How could they fall away and accept that in such a short amount of time? It's no wonder that God said to Moses, just step aside here and let me get rid of all of these people, and we'll start over with you. But because of Moses, Israel was saved. Because of Noah, mankind was saved. Because of Jesus, there's an opportunity for us to be saved today. Because of Jesus, we can have those broken places in our life repaired. And we can be restored. And we can gain victory over things that in the past has defeated us and degraded us and defiled us and caused us to look like miserable failures. I want to read a couple more passages of Scripture before we close. I'd like to go to Matthew, the 12th chapter, and notice what it says here. And he's quoting from the book of Isaiah, and we won't turn and read that in Isaiah, but in Matthew, the 12th chapter, and would like to start reading in the 14th verse. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, or against Jesus, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Not just a few of them, but he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet Isaiah, the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall shew judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. He's not going to be someone that goes out amongst mankind thumping his chest and saying, listen to me, I've got the word that you need to hear. That's not the way Jesus approached it. You know, there may be a builder come into town And they may really promote themselves as being able to make some real progress, make the place look better. You got to tear down all your old Kentucky Fried Chickens and Long John Silver restaurants, and we'll put something really nice in there. That would be somebody that's going around tooting their own horn, you might say, so to speak. But he said here, my servant is not going to be like that. You're not going to hear his voice in the street. He said, a bruised reed shall he not break. A bruised reed. Now just how strong is that to start with? A bruised reed. To me that sounds like poor materials to even begin with. A reed. It's something. He didn't say a stick. He didn't say a log. He didn't say a branch. He said a reed. A bruised reed. Sounds like something that's very fragile anyway, and then it got bruised. A bruised reed will he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. Have you ever seen something that doesn't burn well, smolder? Years ago, I was raised in an area where they planted cotton. And the cotton, they'd have cotton seed hulls that they would try to burn. This was back before they were concerned about greenhouse gases and stuff like that. But they would try to start this cotton seed hulls to burn. And the seed hull would, kind of like a walnut shell, it would kind of burn, but it had cotton in there. And they get that thing on fire, and it would smolder and smolder and smoke and smolder for weeks, maybe months. I don't know. It just seemed like once it got started, you couldn't put it out. But it says here that a smoking flax shall he not quench. Not enough good material there to really cause a fire, but he won't put it out either. There's a little bit of life there. There's a little bit of heat going on. There's a little bit of energy being released, energy that's moving towards the right direction, and I won't put that out. I won't quench it. Till he send forth judgment unto victory. Judgment is not necessarily condemnation. Judgment is the determination between right and wrong. And he said, a bruised reed will he not break, and a smoking flax will he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. That opens the opportunity up for me. I'm a Gentile. Jesus came to repair, to restore, to maintain the relationship between mankind and God, so that we could be reconciled to God, and then to maintain it, to keep it in a position to where it would still be a profitable relationship. You know what a builder would say? Just break it off. Just plow it under. Just put it out. We're going to start over. But a maintainer, Jesus Christ, says, it's talking about him. He says, a bruised reed will he not break, a smoking flax will he not quench. He don't want to break your bruised reed. He wants to restore it. I don't know how to restore a bruised reed. I don't know how to get a hot fire going with flax. Flax is like something that's made out of a fibrous material, kind of like cotton. I don't know how to get a hot fire going. I can barely do good to get a fire going with wet wood, and that's kind of challenging sometimes. But you know, Jesus can do those kind of things. There's people that restore. Rodney showed me a something here a while back. A man took an old antique ratcheting screwdriver that was 100 years old or something. Like it looked like it had been buried in a bucket of mud. And he showed me this fella took it all apart carefully and restored the thing. And when he got done, it's like, yeah, I wouldn't mind owning that. But to start out with, I would have probably tossed it, unless it belonged to Grandpa or something, I would have tossed it in a bucket of scrap iron. It was bent and it was rusted and it was stuck. You know, Jesus can take the bent, rusted, and stuck things in your life. Yes. and restore it because he sees some value in you. He sees value in me. He sees value in you wherever you are in life, whether you're the little child here this morning or you're the oldest one under the roof, whether you're the one with the most broken parts or the fewest broken parts, he sees opportunity and a place for you to gain traction. You might just be some kind of, you know, you're at least smoking flax because you came this morning. You're at least a bruised reed because you put some effort out to put yourself in a place where Jesus could possibly speak to your heart today. And I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is there not to wipe the slate clean of you. He's there to wipe your slate clean of the guilt and condemnation, but he's not ready to scrub you off. He sees something that's worth working with. That's what he sees. And I'm glad you came because it's an opportunity for Jesus to say, look, child, I know you feel like you're broken. I know you feel like you're just barely smoldering a little bit, but I want to take that and I want to build something that'll bring glory and honor to the God of all creation, to the original builder. Let's go to Luke, the fourth chapter, in closing. And notice here, Jesus again is referring to scriptures in the Old Testament, the prophecies that was inspired by God. In Luke, the fourth chapter, we'll read the first verse, I believe. And then, I don't want to read it all. Might wear you out, but I got to get in the fourth chapter here. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He's tempted there. He come out, and in the 14th verse it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. This is after he had been victorious over the temptations of the enemy. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth. Nazareth is where Jesus had been a young boy and had been raised up by his parents there. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. He made an opportunity where he could be given the scripture to read. And they gave him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He didn't just start at verse 1, but he went down in the book of Isaiah. It's actually chapter 61, if you want to turn and read it there. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what Isaiah wrote, and it's almost word for word. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable time. The acceptable time is today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is an opportunity where we can be reconciled, where we can realize that Jesus is not out to get us. He's out to help us. It says here that you go on and read down here that Jesus said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. That's verse 21 in chapter 4 of Luke. Jesus was telling them that what Isaiah prophesied about is being fulfilled through him, through me, Jesus was saying. I'm the one that has come to give you that opportunity where you can be delivered from all of the rubbish that's accumulated in your life. You can have your broken hearts healed. You can be delivered from the bondage that Satan has put on you, the bad habits, the things that you know has the old golden calves or whatever it is that you might have in your life. He's there to deliver us from that, recovering of sight to the blind to give us the ability to have a vision for what God can do in our lives and through our lives to help others. Jesus Christ came with a maintainer type mindset. I hope I'm not doing anything, a violation in your mind of God in Christ this morning, but I just want us to get the picture in our head that there are times that God has, and there's going to be a time that He says, I'm done. I've extended mercy all I can. We're going to destroy the earth with fervent heat. Peter tells us how it's going to happen. But we're going to have to realize that Christ is here, not with a builder mindset of clean the plate, get rid of all of those worthless excuses for humanity. We'll have a new generation. That's not Jesus. Jesus is coming, offering an opportunity for all of us to be restored, to be repaired, to be in a better state than we've ever been before. So I want you to be encouraged today. Go from this setting realizing that Jesus has come to offer you something. He's willing to work with you. You know, if you're in the business of restoring and maintaining something that's old, sometimes you have to get kind of innovative, because sometimes you can't just go down and buy the part that you need. You might have to make something. You might have to take your table saw, so to speak, and make a new piece of siding. You might have to take a welder or a grinder or a mill or a lathe or something and make a new part. You might have to adapt something. I'm just talking about literal things. You know, Jesus is willing to work with you. No matter how bruised and frazzled your life may be, He's willing to work with you and give you an opportunity to rise above whatever the brokenness is. I want you to be encouraged, realizing that Jesus is there to help you to become the very best and to be something that's profitable in His kingdom. You pray for me.